Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes. KTAR News on 92.3 FM.
Hey, look, it's Monica Lindstrom in for Pamela Hughes. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, thank you.
So, we have to go back, and I hardly think that it's household word or household name. Elizabeth Warren, Senator Elizabeth Warren, has put herself a bit in the spotlight, maybe for some of the wrong reasons. She's being considered as a possible Democratic candidate for president, right? I think she's actually, like, literally, you know. Well, how about this way? Anytime an elected official spends a lot of time in Iowa and New Hampshire, and they're not from Iowa
Good
and New
point.
Hampshire, they're running. Okay. Just how serious remains to be seen.
But the stakes are really good in Iowa.
Okay. I seriously doubt Elizabeth Warren coming there for dinner. But one of the things, and maybe the only reason people know who Elizabeth Warren is from all the other senators, candidates, whoever might be out there, is because Trump continues to use a racial slur and continues to make racist remarks about her, referring to her as Pocahontas. And he does so because in the past she had claimed some form of Native American heritage on, was it, it was a, like a college bio or whatnot when she was a professor, okay? And her lineage is in debate. Is that a good way to put it?
Yeah, I think so.
What do you have?
Well, so here's what Trump said with his wonderful Pocahontas comment,
okay,
so which is just unbelievable.
Pocahontas, I apologize to you. I apologize. To you, I apologize. To the fake Pocahontas, I won't apologize. When she proclaims that she's of Indian heritage because her mother said she has high cheekbones. That's her only evidence, that her mother said she had high cheekbones.
Okay, so we have Trump basically not believing Elizabeth Warren.
Right, and being racist about it. Okay.
You don't have any of this.
Not surprising in and of itself.
And in fact, he goes on to say this.
I will give you $1 million to your favorite charity, paid for by Trump, if you take the test and it shows you're an Indian.
Okay. All right. Take the test. The DNA test. Like he's 23andMe. Well, guess who took a DNA test?
Pocahontas.
Elizabeth Warren took a, Senator Warren, took a DNA test, and the results are in, Monica.
Here's what the DNA doctor says.
In the senator's genome, we did find 5 segments of Native American ancestry with very high confidence, where we believe the error rate is less than 1 in 1,000.
Okay. I've yet to understand, in looking at all this, I don't think this specific test does like your 1/20th or 1/100th or 1/2 or whatnot, but her DNA test came back that there is, quote, strong evidence. This is from the DNA doctor. So she didn't do 23andMe. She didn't just send this away in the mail. She went to an actual DNA doctor. And the analysis shows that she has Native American ancestry. Now, it is not doesn't appear to be recent ancestry, but that she has some Native American in her background, Native American heritage in her background.
So this analysis places her Native American ancestor between 6 and 10 generations ago, with the report estimating 8 generations. So she comes out and says during her life that she has Native American ancestry. Okay.
Apparently that is true.
That's true.
Okay.
Trump, before this test was done, came out and said, you're a liar. I don't believe you. And if you
By the way, same guy that didn't believe that the president was born in the United States as well.
Right,
remember that.
Right, exactly.
He's consistent with his conspiracy theory.
And I don't believe you so much that if you do take the test, whatever the test is, I'm going to give you $1 million or give your favorite charity $1 million. So when the results of this DNA test came out and Trump was confronted with it, guess what he said? Here you go.
Who cares?
I didn't say that.
You didn't say that.
Read it again.
Yeah. Okay, wait a minute. So she comes out, does a DNA test.
Yes.
It shows she has Native American ancestry.
Yep.
He says he would give $1 million if she took the test. Now he's saying, I didn't say that. Can we go back and play that part?
Which one? The one that says, I didn't say that?
No. What did Trump say about her taking the test?
Here we go.
I will give you $1 million to your favorite charity, paid for by Trump, if you take the test and it shows you're an Indian.
Okay, so she has taken the test. It shows that she has Native American ancestry, and today he says...
Fred, you said you paid $1 million for charity.
I didn't say that. No, I didn't. You better read it again.
Yeah, again, the fact that he's a pathological liar is not news in and of itself.
No, here you go. He said Indian. He'd give $1 million if she was Indian. He didn't mean Native American.
The fact he probably doesn't know the difference between those isn't surprising as well either. Now, listen, all of that, the lying and the stupidity and the racism, par for the course, used to it. This does bring up something, and I do think there's an interesting argument in here that maybe with all these DNA tests these days, where now you can find these things out, where before you did have to go by, well, my great-grandmother says, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I bet all of us, if you go back six generations or whatnot like this one did, we are some percentage of some minority. And it really does get to the point of... And I made this argument a couple weeks ago with a guy who was actually suing over this. If all of us are some percentage minority, what does it mean to be a minority anymore? Oh, who is 100% pure in their DNA, in their ancestry? I doubt very many people.
Well, if you want to say 100% pure American, that would be Native American, right? Because they were
but
here.
But that is a nationality. I'm talking about actual race and actual ethnicity. That when we talk about minorities, we talk about African American or Hispanic or Asian or Native American. But if these DNA tests can prove that you're 1/20th, 1/50th, 1/4 define minority.
I think minority status is an arbitrary number that a certain entity gives it, right? The U.S. government says you're minority if you're this percentage. Maybe the city of Phoenix says you're entitled to a minority tax benefit, if there is one, because you're this percentage. So I think it's just an arbitrary number. And if I had I have Native American in my background, I could turn around and say I'm a minority, right? Because in my mind, I am because I have that background. So I think it's just an arbitrary number that an entity places.
And maybe because of the blending of not just cultures, but of races, the real melting pot, the prevalence of people marrying, having children outside of a specific race. That we are going to have to redefine what it means to be a minority in this country because everybody is going to be some percentage minority. And is it if you're under 25%, you don't count?
Or
if
how
you're
many
under 50%? Or if it, exactly.
You're only a minority if your grandparents were 25% minority or something like that.
I think that argument is coming. And I think it's a solid argument to be made. Listen, do I think Elizabeth Warren should get any special preferential treatment because six generations ago there's some Native American ancestry? No, I don't. I don't. I don't think she should have gotten into college because of it. I don't think she should have gotten tenure because of it. I don't think she should get elected because of it. It's almost irrelevant to the fact, and I think it will become more and more irrelevant when people claim any sort of ethnic heritage or minority because we all have some of it. If we all went through the same test, and if you went back far enough, you're going to find that in everybody. So if everybody's a minority, nobody's a minority. See what I mean?
Yeah. I think it's ridiculous that she even had to go do that to prove that she was telling the truth.
Oh, and the fact that Trump won't pay up on his stupid bet.
Right. Again,
par for the course.
He said it. He's confronted with his sound, how can he turn around and say, I didn't say that?
He's an idiot. He's a professional liar.
I don't understand.
Pathological, by the way. Literally lies about things we have audio tape of him saying he said.
But I didn't say that.
Yeah. Yes, you did.
That's not my voice.
You're just welching on a bet. That's okay.
That's not what
I
meant.
You're a welcher. Add it to the long list of other stupid things you do. He did say it. She did the test. It proves that she has Native American heritage, and he's still not going to pay up. Who's surprised by that?
I wonder if he'll call her Pocahontas now.
Of course he will.
But then that's giving credibility.
It's a racist
credibility.
Dog whistle, and he's going to continue. Why would he stop being who he is at
that's
any
true.
Point? Why would anybody be shocked by that? No, I'd be shocked if he actually changed. I'd be shocked if he stopped being racist or stopped lying. That would be news. The fact that he continues to do it, we call that Monday.
All right? For the course.
Is the death penalty on its way out? As more and more states look at how difficult it is to execute people, other states are also looking at, well, The Constitution, the law, the legality of executing people.
Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
Monica Lindstrom in for Pamela Hughes. And Monica, with her legal background, both as a prosecutor and as a defense attorney, has insider knowledge, a unique perspective on the death penalty. We're talking about it because the state of Washington, the Washington Supreme Court, ruled that the state's death penalty violates their constitution because it is imposed in an arbitrary and racially biased manner. That is, seems to be the latest attack on the death penalty. And there appears to be some validity behind it. Count me as one of the people who thinks that I used to be much less questioning of the death penalty. When you saw like serial killers being executed, you went,
exactly.
You know what? Good riddance. Timothy McVeigh, the Oklahoma City bomb. Good.
Eye for an eye.
Put the needle in him. Done. Right?
Yep.
But when you look at the vast majority of people being executed, they're hardly household names. They're not these fantastic crimes of terror or serial killers. And how is the death penalty being applied? And you know, we see this before, and I'm talking to an attorney here in Monica Lindstrom, so I don't feel like I need to tell you your job, but we always see the scales of justice, and justice is blindfolded, right? Justice is supposed to be blind. Doesn't matter if you're rich, you're poor, you're male, you're female, you're black, white, Hispanic. Justice is supposed to be applied equally. Well, the Washington State Supreme Court looked at how the death penalty was being applied in the state of Washington. By the way, not uniquely different from any of the other states. And said, it most certainly is not being applied evenly, and justice is not blind. Therefore, no more death penalty.
And it makes sense. They said arbitrary and racially biased manner. And that is an argument that exists in several states. In fact, there are now 30 states that allow the death penalty since Washington has dropped out. Arizona is one of them. And that's an argument that attorneys here in Arizona have been making for years, that it's arbitrary. And what they mean by that is Arizona law says that prosecutors have to say, not only is this a murder, but it's a really bad murder. So your average run-of-the-mill murder doesn't deserve the death penalty, but really bad murderers do. And there's 14 different ways that a prosecutor can prove that this is a really bad murder that should get the death penalty. And so defense attorneys have come out and defendants have said the way that the Maricopa County Attorney's Office or other prosecuting agencies in Arizona have doled out the death penalty is arbitrary. It's unfair because there's a group of people that get together within the office and they staff it, which means they go into a conference room, they all sit down and they talk about the case and decide whether this particular case deserves the death penalty.
We're going
or
death
not.
Penalty on this. We're going life without parole on this. We're
exactly.
making those decisions.
Exactly. And that committee will change as people come into the office and leave the office and as elected officials come and go.
And they bring their own beliefs, biases, preconceived notions.
Yep. And so there's arguments that Arizona is also arbitrary in its selection of who receives the death penalty or which prosecutors go after the death penalty or not. So this is an argument that is in all states. And it finally won in Washington. And I don't think that that argument will win anytime soon here in Arizona because it's been filed very recently, in fact, and it hasn't won here. But I think we will see other reasons why the death penalty will go away here in Arizona.
How close are we? And you understand the legal system better than I do, Monica. So you have, I want to say there's 11 states over the last decade or so that have struck down the death penalty. These are states that had it, and their court system, their Supreme Courts have said no. Does this eventually get to the U.S. Supreme Court? And
yes.
How does it get to the Supreme Court?
Yes. So you need that perfect case that will go up to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court has, in the past, put a moratorium on the death penalty. I believe it was back in the 70s. The Supreme Court came out and said no state can execute anybody until you figure out how to do it fairly and justly.
Okay.
And so when the states were able to show the Supreme Court or the federal government that it was able to do that, then the moratorium went away and they were allowed to execute people again.
Now, statistics do say, and the numbers are the numbers, that we as a country, not just the state of Arizona, we execute minorities at a higher rate, even than a higher rate of committing crimes. we execute men at a higher rate.
Poor.
And poor people at a higher rate. Mm-hmm. Disproportionate. So if you are rich, female, and white, you've got very little chance of receiving the death penalty, almost regardless of whatever crime you committed.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you're poor, male, and black, well, guess what? You have a disproportionate chance of receiving the death penalty. And that's what these states were arguing, or at least that's what the arguments to the state Supreme Courts have been, that that is not an equal application of the law. And I think they've got a hell of an argument.
They do. They have a good argument. Here in Arizona, we have 116 inmates that are on death row right now. 116.
116.
Three of those are women. Yeah. 113 are men.
Now, right off the bat, you look at that and say, Is that an accurate representation of people that have committed violent crimes, people that have committed murders? I can tell you right now, it isn't.
You know, but it's
hesitate
not too
to give
far.
Women, we hesitate to give women the death penalty.
Agreed. But it's not too far off because women, there's not a high rate of women who commit the
violence.
It's not
50-50. I'm not arguing that.
Right.
But 113 to 3? And it ain't that either.
Of the 116, 63 are identified as white, 18 black, 20-something Hispanic.
Okay.
So you can see that there are more white people on death row here in Arizona.
But there's also more white people in Arizona.
Right. Exactly. So I think in the future we will see the death penalty go away here in Arizona, but it'll be more because of the impracticability.
The cost
and how impractical it is than the arbitrariness.
Also, if I understand correctly, I know we're running out of time, is that it's harder and harder to get the lethal injection drugs that the drug companies say, we didn't make these drugs for you to kill people. We won't sell them to you.
Yeah, and Arizona's having a tough time with that, just like many other states.
We won't give you the drugs.
We can't get the drugs.
Yeah. Trump is coming here Friday, another campaign rally, this time out at Mesa Gateway Airport. Will this be any different from the last rally? You remember that one? Tear gas, arrests, fighting in the streets of downtown Phoenix. And who will be on stage with them? And maybe more importantly, who won't? We'll talk about it next on Arizona's News Station.
Arizona's News Station. KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
Well, Trump is coming back to the Valley, and I think everyone is hoping that we don't have a repeat of the last time he visited here. That was the downtown rally that ended late in the night with tear gas, arrests, violence in the streets. And I again, don't think that is... no one wrapped in glory, nothing positive comes of that. But we may have a better outcome this time, Monica Lindstrom, just because of where the event is, physically where it is.
So this Friday, Trump is set to speak or appear or whatever he's going to do.
Hold a rally.
Yeah, 7 p.m. at International Air Response, which is basically right next door to the Phoenix Mesa Gateway Airport, Southeast Valley. So Sossaman and Power Road, way out there. And I think that because it is so far.
Do you think most people even know that that's a commercial airport out there still?
No. They might know if they fly and they pull up airports and tickets and Travelocity or something. And
go,
they
what's
see,
Mesa Gateway?
Right. They see that option Allegiant? There for the search, but they don't know what it is.
Got it. So out in the Southeast Valley for most of us.
And so I think the mere fact that it is all the way out in the Southeast Valley, you're not going to have as many people there. You're, of course, going to have the diehard lovers and the diehard haters. But it's different than being in downtown Phoenix, where downtown Phoenix is so accessible. You've got the light rail.
Literally easy to get in and out of.
Yeah. There's people that work down there.
Here's something I thought of, because I was down at the rally/riot. The last time he's here. And it's kind of funny. I was talking to a friend of mine who works at the Phoenix, works with Phoenix SWAT.
Okay.
And we were standing on a street corner. Sun had gone down and they were waiting for the Trump rally inside the convention center to end. And so that people would come out. Mm-hmm. And they were concerned about the mixing of those crowds.
Right.
And it was kind of funny. And I think back on this and I appreciate, I guess, having friends like this. So I'm standing there with them. And we're like watching it and seeing people march around and scream and, you know, wave their signs. And he says to me, he goes, do you have to be here? I go, what do you mean? He goes, like, are you working? Do you have to be here?
Oh, okay, for KTAR.
Yeah. And I said, oh, no, I'm just here to kind of observe on my own. He said, I would leave if I were you.
Oh, wow.
I said, really? He goes, I have to be here. If you don't have to be here, you should leave. And he was like, and I said, all right, high five. Catch you later. Be safe. And so I left. Well, I left before the tear gas. I left before the fighting.
So that's interesting because that tells me that they already had their antenna up thinking, we are going to have a problem here.
When the people on the inside came out, he pointed out something to me. I thought this was really interesting. He said, look how the crowd's changing. Earlier today, you had men, women, and children, for lack of better terms. You had quite a cross-section of people. He goes, who do we have left right now? Young males.
And that was towards the end of the day?
Sun went down. Families went home. The
gremlins come out?
Well, the loosely associated went home, and you had the hardcore. And you had
or
the people
the ones
there,
that just went
the people,
trouble.
The dead enders, the ones who came to make trouble. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yes.
And he said, look how the crowd literally changes. I don't think you're going to see that at Mesa Gateway Airport. I just don't think you're going to see that kind of a gathering. And I agree with you, partly because
it's hard to get to.
It's at the end of the earth. And because it's at an airport, I think, and it's fair to say, that they'll be able to control the perimeter and the grounds a
like
lot
the
easier.
The access points.
How do you? Because you can't shut down downtown Phoenix.
Very true. And so with the location being where it is and the facility that it's at, the police, and this will be Mesa PD, will be able to control everything a little bit better. Plus, they have the benefit of hindsight. And what I mean by that is Phoenix PD back in August of 2017, when they had the rally and they had the tear gas and the pepper spray that they had to spray into the crowd, I think not only did Phoenix PD learn from that, but other law enforcement agencies in our state and other states learned from that experience. And also, they know that the ACLU is looking at them with a fine-tooth comb and a very high, you know, telephoto lens, making sure that they're not going to screw up.
So I got a question for you. So we know that the rally is ostensibly for Martha McSally, who's in a close Senate race with Kyrsten Sinema, Congresswoman Sinema and Congresswoman McSally. So Trump comes here, stands on stage. Mm-hmm. McSally stands next to him for 30 seconds. He gives his generic.
They get all the pictures.
She's good on the wall and she
get the sound bite.
Hates Democrats. This, that, and the other. And then he goes into the comedy act. What other politicians, statewide or local politicians, will want to be on that stage with Trump? And which ones will try to avoid it?
Well, we've got Governor Doug Ducey, right? He's had Trump support before, although you mentioned earlier that he's never really been on stage.
Like not standing next to, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That Governor Ducey, you have not seen that.
Buddy pals.
Yeah, you've seen Governor Ducey welcome Trump when he comes to town.
Which is required, and unlike what Brewer did, right, which embarrassed us with Obama.
The finger wagging. No, he doesn't do the finger wagging.
Right.
But that's kind of standard. That's par for the course, right?
That's part of the job.
That's neither for or against. That's, you're the governor of the state, the president's here, you come and visit him.
Mm-hmm.
Will Ducey get on that stage? At the rally,
if he is
when they start chanting "lock her up" and build a wall, do you think that they get the irony of the "lock her up" after the Kavanaugh thing? Do you think the sheep that chant things like "lock her up" and are basically saying we should lock someone up without due process, but that Kavanaugh is a victim because there wasn't due process? I doubt that they get the irony. Anyway. I don't think Ducey's going to stand on that stage.
I think if he has navigated his previous campaign and his term in office successfully and that he hasn't had to be on stage with Trump.
And he's reelected. He's leading by all the polls that we've seen here in Arizona.
I don't think he needs to be on stage. What benefit would he have?
Cost-benefit analysis.
Right.
McSally needs a shot in the arm. Is that fair?
Because it's a very close race. So she might be thinking, I could use anything I can get.
I wonder, and they had to go through these calculations. The positive versus the negative, because there are negatives that come along with it as well.
Oh, absolutely.
And we're not talking to the rabid wings. Okay?
They already have their minds made up.
There's absolutely nothing that could happen that would make them change their vote.
True.
The majority of the people that will decide the Senate race, the gubernatorial race, and all of the congressional districts are people in the middle. Does Trump help or hurt? Does standing next to him help or hurt? Does an Obama endorsement help or hurt? They've done those calculations. And obviously, Congresswoman McSally believes standing next to Trump helps.
She might be right. I guess
even
we'll just have to
Trump
see.
Trump is underwater in the state of Arizona. Approval rating is below 50.
It might go up once he's here.
Yeah, we'll find out. That's this Friday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Friday night?
Yep, 7 p.m.
Rush hour traffic.
International Air Response in Mesa, which is next to the Phoenix Mesa Gateway Airport.
Monica Lindstrom thinks that because it's out in East Jesus.
Southeast Valley.
Southeast Valley. Because it's Friday, because people have to, that less people will show up to get angry and chant and throw things.
It'll be too difficult to get to. Keeping my fingers
crossed. Sure, you hate Trump, but are you willing to drive to Mesa to hate him?
See?
I don't know. I'm not going to go that far.
I think that'll be.
That's interesting. Yeah, yeah. Boy, we've got more on the way, including Hillary Clinton said what? We'll talk about that coming up next.
Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes. KTAR News on 92.3 FM.
So yesterday, Hillary Clinton was on CBS News on Sunday, okay? Trump was on 60 Minutes last night. Hillary Clinton on the Sunday morning news. And was asked about, because it's pretty par for the course now, is asked about Monica Lewinsky and the affair that she had with Bill Clinton. I thought Hillary Clinton's answer was telling and a little disturbing.
Here's the interaction.
In retrospect, do you think Bill should have resigned in the wake of the Monica Lewinsky scandal?
Absolutely not.
It wasn't an abuse of power?
No, no.
There are people who look at the incidents of the 90s and they say a president of the United States cannot have a consensual relationship with an intern. The power imbalance is too great.
Who was an adult.
Now, that's
Wait a minute. So, all right. So she is making the argument that it wasn't an abuse of power because Monica Lewinsky was an adult.
Correct.
So by that rationale, no adult woman can be subject to abuse of power? But you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. If you take just that clip of what she said, then I think, yes, you could believe that that's the correlation. Now, she came back, and this is what she said after.
Let me ask you this. Where's the investigation of the current incumbent against whom numerous allegations have been made and which he dismisses, denies, and ridicules?
Yeah, but that's the what about.
Right.
And I make fun of other people when their only answer to it is, what about? I don't care about your what about.
But she answered the question.
But she answered the question that she
doesn't. She didn't hesitate.
No, and she was obviously prepared for it.
Well,
but this flies
it's been
in the face
years.
Of but here's the issue. Listen, I've been a boss. Many of you as employees, if you haven't been management, you've gone through sexual harassment training.
Oh yeah, that video.
What Bill Clinton did with Monica Lewinsky is the definition of sexual harassment. You had a person in position of power having a relationship with a subordinate that they could affect their professional outcome. I mean, it is the definition.
You know, I don't agree.
How?
Okay, this is why I don't agree. From what we've heard, or from what I've heard and what's been out there, he didn't force Monica Lewinsky to do anything.
I'm not arguing that he
well,
raped
we're talking
her
about sexual harassment, right?
Right?
The person has to feel like they're being harassed. If they are a willing participant in it and they're enjoying it and they don't feel like they're harassed, I don't think you can call it sexual harassment. We might see it as that.
But you have places of work.
Correct.
This one would be one of them.
Mm-hmm.
that even if they're adults and consenting, it is the definition of sexual harassment in our employee handbook. A boss cannot have a sexual relationship with a subordinate.
Yeah, and I understand that might be the policy in places, and I don't know if it was the policy in the White House
or not. It obviously is not the policy in the White House.
But typically, when we talk about sexual harassment and abuse of power, we are talking about someone in a position that can hurt the other person. It's the tit for tat. You have sex with me, or you do this with me, or I'm going to hurt your career. Now, from what we've heard, and correct me if I'm wrong,
no, please.
This didn't happen in this situation. We didn't hear about Bill Clinton saying, you have sexual relations with me or I am going to, you know, bomb your career. You're never going to be able to get a job if you
don't
do this.
But don't you think there's an implication in
Absolutely.
There?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And if Bill Clinton made the first advance, if Bill Clinton, which, by the way, from everything we know about Bill Clinton, not outside the scope of who he is.
Agreed.
Gave her the wink.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, why don't you stick around afterwards? Even if she's a willing participant, mm-hmm. It is implied that he is the boss. It is implied that he has control over your future. We don't need to state it. He's the president of the United States.
Agreed. Could he have used his power? Absolutely. He used his position of power to have that interaction.
He's not arguing that she sexually assaulted him, is he?
And she's not arguing that he sexually assaulted her. That's where I think the difference is I don't recall Lewinsky coming out and saying that he raped her, he assaulted her, he mistreated her, he lied to her, he did any of those things.
But the implication always was that he had control over her future, which is why it's against company policy and against the law in a lot of places.
Understood.
The boss can't do that because the implication is there.
Yeah, understood.
We don't need to state it. We don't need it in writing.
I guess just not every incident is sexual harassment. And I don't want to belittle sexual harassment.
Fair.
By using every time a boss and an intern or a boss and a subordinate get together.
I don't think Hillary Clinton does herself much good when she tries to explain it away like that.
I don't know what else she could say other than I have no idea or no comment. Yeah, what can she do?
Yeah.
She didn't do it.
She's like, I wish he would stop acting like this. He's been doing it his whole goddamn life.
Right.
That's about what she needed to say. Hey, Monica, thanks for being in here. Can you come back tomorrow?
Yay!
Monica Lindstrom will be in with us tomorrow. We look through the double pay bulletproof class. Thanks a lot to DJ Tommy Two Tone. Also, Super Producer Stevie Z and Martha Maurer filling in for Bob McClain.